नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्री नारद उवाच भक्ति योगस्य तत्सर्वम् अन्तरायाथ यार्भका मन्यमानो हृषीकेशम् स्मयमाना उवाचः श्रीनारद उवाच भक्ति अन्तरायाथ रार्कपखा मन्यमानो हृषीकेशम् स्मयमाना उवाचः
The Saint Narada Muni continued, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Narasingha Dev, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows, purport by his divine grace. A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Material achievements are not the ultimate goal of devotional service. The ultimate goal of devotional service is love of Godhead. Therefore, although Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj, and many devotee kings were materially very opulent, they accepted their material opulence in the service of the Lord, not for their personal sense gratification. Of course, possessing material opulence is always fearful, because under the influence of material opulence, one may be misdirected from devotional service. Nonetheless, a pure devotee, anyabhilashita sunyam, is never misdirected by material opulence. On the contrary, whatever he possesses, he engages 100% in the service of the Lord. When one is allured by material possessions, they are considered to be given by Maya. But when one uses material possessions fully for service, they are considered God's gifts or facilities offered by Krishna for enhancing devotional service. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 7, Chapter 10, entitled Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees. Text 1. In the previous chapter, we have read how Lord Narasingha Dev was so deeply pleased with Prahlad Maharaj. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam tvam. When a devotee gives his or her heart to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates by giving his heart to the devotee. When a devotee gives everything for Krishna, Krishna is willing to give everything to his devotee.
By giving everything, he gives himself. Everything is included in Krishna. To give some money, to give some favor, it is a gesture of affection. But to give your life for someone, that is real love. A devotee gives his or her life to Krishna. That means the body, the mind, the words, all of one's desires. Nothing is left. This is love. It is said that Krishna doesn't only see what you give him, but from within the heart, he also sees what you hold back, what you're not giving to him, what you're claiming proprietorship for, what you feel you are entitled to enjoy. Real love is Krishna, I'm yours. Everything. Our every word, our every thought, our every deed is a deliberate act of devotion for the pleasure of the Lord. That's what it means to give one's life. If you want to kill me, if you want to protect me, if you want to make me a success or a failure, I'm yours. Whatever pleases you, that is my happiness. Prahlad Maharaj exemplified this quality of selfless surrender for the whole world to see. Lord Narasimhadev will say that anyone who remembers you and your acts of devotional service in relationship to me and tries to live by that example, they will attain perfection. Prahlad did not complain why these things were happening to him. And it wasn't just he didn't complain because Krishna was always there to protect him. If in any of those situations Prahlad was there, Prahlad would die, he would have been just as happy dying for Krishna as living for Krishna. He was simply remembering Krishna with a grateful and loving heart. Narsingha, the Lord allowed Prahlad to be put through these situations just to show the rest of us what love really is. Kama, or lust, in this world is selfishly motivated. Kamaistaista hrittigyana prapadyantenya devata. Krishna condemns the worship of the demigods for material purposes in Bhagavad Gita. He said it is based on kama, material enjoyment. That doesn't just mean sexual lust. Kamaisthaisthar tajnana prapadyantenya devata means you want success, you want reputation, you want good health, you want position. People worship the demigods for so many things like this. Now, demons, they worship demigods for very demoniac purposes. But most people, to worship the demigods properly means very, very pious life. You have to be extremely pious. Performing yajnas, living very much in the mode of goodness. Even that is kamaistaistar hidigyana. Because you're still, such a person is still thinking about being the proprietor and being the enjoyer and taking the credit. Anyabilashita sunyam jnana karmanyadavidam. Rupa Goswami establishes this principle of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Pure devotional service. One does not want karma. One doesn't want any material benefits. One does not want mystic yogic powers. One does not even care about salvation or liberation. One's concern is just to make Krishna happy by our service. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. We are the servants. In Vrindavan, the gopis, the gopas, although they have such fully developed, intense love for God, even treating him as an equal or even as a superior, it's all just to make Krishna happy. It's all only for his service. When Yashoda Mai chastises Krishna, it's only for Krishna's pleasure. It's without any trace of selfish ambition. Then Prahlad Maharaj, who is in Shantaras in one sense, everything for Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would listen to this story 100 times consecutively, never tire hearing it. Because it's an example for all of us. You cannot assimilate or realize the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam unless we assimilate and realize the preliminary chapters. And Prahlad Maharaj is very, very much important. Unless we can develop these qualities, there's no question of following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. That is so much beyond this. Lord Narasingadev was so pleased with Prahlad, who gave everything to him. Narasingadev wanted to give everything to Prahlad. He was put through so much crisis, so much inconvenience, so much insult and humiliation, everything possible that a person doesn't want in life. Prahlad was inflicted by that, by his own father. And Lord Narasingadev is, I will give you long life. I will give you everything, anything. Please take benedictions from me. In today's verse, very, very crucial principle, which is very subtle but very powerful. What practically everyone who worships God in all religions throughout history, what almost everyone is wanting from God, is very much integral for the purpose of their worshiping God. What people are expecting God to give to them. The goal of everyone else, Prahlad Maharaj considers an impediment. That is the difference between Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. Dharma prochita kaitavatra parama nirmatsaranam sadam. What people perform great tapasya, yajnas, piety, charity, doing japa, doing mantra, doing prayers, doing pujas, all over the world, throughout history. What they want to go to heaven, everyone, at the time of death. But their focus is very much the things of this world. What everyone wants, Prahlad considers an impediment. What everyone wants and can't get, Prahlad, he can get it. It's easy to say it's an impediment and I don't want it when you can't get it. It's like we're doing our japa and we're doing our puja and we're doing our seva and, you know, we're just not getting any mystic powers. So it's easy to preach, you know, we don't want mystic powers. It's an impediment. Yes, it's an impediment. Easy to say that. But when you're offered all the mystic powers, then do you consider it an impediment? Or you think, well, you know, I can actually use it in Krishna's service. So many justifications will be there. All the things that Nrsingadev is offering to Prahlad, Prahlad could say, I'll use it all in your service, no problem, I'm a pure devotee. He says it's an impediment. Prahlad's been given everything, and he's refusing. Because he only wants one thing. He wants to please Krishna. He wants nothing for himself. That is love. And we'll see how Prahlad, in his humility, he's not saying, I'm such an exalted, pure Paramhamsa Mahabhagavat that I don't want anything from you, my Lord. I'm above all that stuff. You should know all these things. You're asking me to give benedictions? I am so advanced. Let the world know I don't want anything from you. That is not the mood of a pure devotee. Prahlad's mood is just the opposite. He's saying, my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is identifying himself as someone with a past of being an atheist and a demon, and therefore naturally very, very inclined toward materialistic life. And therefore, because he's so much materially inclined, these benedictions are a temptation to him. It's a very difficult temptation. And he's saying, I have not worshipped you for these benedictions. I want to be liberated from these materialistic things. And for this reason, I have taken shelter of you. I've taken shelter of you to be free of all the things you want to give me. Because I have this material disease.
I want to be cured. I've taken shelter of you to be cured of this desires for material enjoyment. And because I'm so addicted to these things, please do not tempt me by offering them to me. This is how he's refusing. Not as a great soul, but as a humble Vaishnav. And he's saying, I'm very much afraid of material conditions.
Baja hure mana sri nandanandana abhaya charanaravindare.
One who takes shelter of Krishna becomes fearless. Prahlad has already demonstrated how he can take shelter of Krishna. Beyond anyone. But he's not saying he's fearless. He's saying he's very much afraid. He's not afraid of death. He's not afraid of disease. He's not afraid of failure. He's afraid of Maya. He's afraid of material desires. And in this mood, he's taking shelter of the Lord. And yes, that is Abhay Charanaravindare. When a devotee who is very humble is afraid of material existence and takes shelter of the Lord, that person becomes fearless because the Lord reciprocates and gives himself to that devotee. This is a very revealing verse that is spoken by Narada Muni to expose in our own hearts how far we really are from pure devotional service. And the purer you are, the farther you'll feel you are. Yes? That's just transcendental psychology. Prahlad feels himself so far. Not that I'm so advanced I don't want these things, but I'm so fallen, don't tempt me with these things. That is his mood. I'm taking shelter of you to rise above these desires for material enjoyment. Bhagavad Gita says that what is night for a devotee is day for a ordinary person, and vice versa. Here we're speaking about not just the demons and the devotees, we're talking about those who are aspiring for real devotion and those who are following other religious, for other purposes. What everyone wants, Prahlad is afraid of and doesn't want. To the point where Prahlad says, if you give me anything for my devotional service to you, I'm not a pure devotee. In fact, I'm not even a devotee. I'm Vanik. I'm just doing business with you. That is how subtle his devotional service is. I am not a businessman. Not with you. I'm your devotee. That means I am here to serve you. If we expect any benedictions from the Lord, then we are expecting him to serve us. That's the very basis of material bondage. Srila Prabhupada explains we are all eternal servants of Krishna. But when that service attitude is disturbed, and we want to enjoy separate from Krishna,
then we directly or indirectly accept God to be our order supplier. And then we become entangled in all sorts of materialistic complications. It's not easy, because Maya is very powerful. She has every possible way and technique to entangle us. She knows everything. It's very difficult. Just like these terrorists, we will speak about that subject this afternoon. But they went into the Taj Mahal Hotel, and they just knew every part of it. And the commandos outside were trying to fight. Very difficult. Well, Maya is like, she terrorizes us. She knows every part of us. She's inside, and she's in any place you try to attack her, she knows just where to go somewhere else and attack you. Yes? Very, very difficult. We can't do it ourselves. She's too powerful. Just like the ordinary people, could they defend themselves in these hotels? An outside, more powerful force had to come. That is our condition. We're hostages. We're hostages of Maya. We're hostages. We're taken hostage by the terrorism of lust, anger, envy, pride, greed, and illusion. And they're not just armed with AK-47s. They're really armed with all the power of material energy to keep us captive. And what can we do to get out? What can we do to escape? We have to call on the Lord's powers. Daivi Heshuguna Mayi Mama Maya Dura. Only Krishna can protect us. May Krishna manifest through his name. Krishna manifests through the Vaishnavas. Krishna manifests through Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna manifests in the deity. And they're all there. They're all there to help us. But we have to want it. We have to cry for it. We have to pray for it. First thing is we have to understand what condition it is to be a hostage of Maya. If we're under the illusion that this is very nice, let us enjoy together. Let's watch television together. Let's eat together. Let's talk together. Very, very dangerous. That's how they take power in the first place. They come in as almost like they're just your friends, innocent. And they control your life. So Bhagavad Gita teaches us we have to understand what is material existence. As long as we're just thinking, let me make my material life better, you're a hostage of Maya. You're under that control. And you're going to suffer in due course of time. We have to really, really, from our heart of hearts, understand. Dukalayam ashashvatam. This Maya is embarrassing me. This Maya is going to perpetually throw me down birth after birth after birth. I want help and I need help. And Krishna will give all help. But not necessarily the way we want it. Many people, they become doubtful about the power of God when he doesn't help them according to their requisition, according to the order that they give. But that's not the way Krishna works. Our tendency is God should be what we want God to be. But what kind of God is that? We should be what God wants us to be. That's a service attitude. But if God should be what we want and expect God to be, it's not a service attitude. That's the problem. Some crisis happens, and we think, why is God doing this? God shouldn't do this. But it's not God doing things in the material world. It's us doing things to each other. But God, for a devotee, for ordinary people, they're just interacting with the modes of material nature. Krishna set it in motion and then gives us, as human beings, the choice to do what we want with this place. But from the very beginning, Krishna says, Abramabhavanar loka punar avartanojana mamubhetitu konteya punar janmana vidyate. This material existence is a place of misery. From the highest planet down to the lowest. Only if you take shelter of me can you escape. So he's telling us from the beginning that this is a place of misery. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Everything's temporary. Adi atmaka adi daivaka adi bhotika. We must understand philosophically, scientifically, what material existence really is. But the tendency, even of religious people, is Krishna says it's a place of misery. And he said we should surrender to him, not to live a better life in this world, but to transcend this world, because it's a miserable place by constitution. But God is this order supplier. Because I'm your devotee, yes, you said it's a miserable place, but it should not be miserable like this. But if it wasn't miserable like that, it wouldn't be miserable. If you had a choice of, you know, what miseries, then you would choose the things that aren't even really miserable. Misery, that's a serious word, misery. It's not inconvenience. Krishna didn't say from the highest planet to the lowest, all are places of inconvenience. He doesn't say from the highest planet to the lowest, they're all places where it's not so nice, actually. He says they're all places of misery. Misery is a very, very intense, harsh, graphic word. Misery means, think about, let's meditate on the word misery. When you're in a traffic jam or in a crowded train, that's not misery. That's just a little pain, yes? But misery is something very intense. That's when everything's really going wrong. Krishna said, no matter who you are, material world is a place of misery. How to be happy? You have to transcend material life. Prahlad was happy not because there was no miseries in his life. He was happy because he transcended it.
Ambarish was happy because he transcended it. And what does it mean to transcend it? It means to take shelter of the Lord. Actually, the miseries can help us to take shelter of the Lord if we see it like that. Rather than complaining, why like this? God, you're all powerful. Why like this? I could be doing so much more if it wasn't like this. Just give me what I want and see what I'll do for you. That may be true. But Krishna puts us in a situation to see what we'll do for him. Krishna may not want magnificent, famous results. For him, it might be more pleasing if we sincerely, from the core of our hearts, helplessly cry out his holy name. If that's what Krishna wants of us, then let's do that. If he wants to give us health and wealth and fame and everything else where we can just do so many, you know, things for his mission, then we should use our health and wealth and fame and everything else for his mission. Prabhupada is explaining that great kings that we read about, they had all material opulences, but they used it for the Lord. They didn't reject it. Prahlad rejected everything, but it was given to him anyway. He didn't want anything material, but he got everything material. Just compare Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu performed massive tapasya and cheated and lied and stealed and murdered in order to attain his position. Prahlad thought the whole position was nothing but maya. He wanted nothing of it. But yet, in the end, Prahlad got everything Hiranyakashipu worked so hard for. It's a fact. He was given the same position and powers as Hiranyakashipu, and the same wealth and opulences, and he didn't want it. Hiranyakashipu, even having it all, was always miserable. Sometimes he didn't know he was miserable, and sometimes he did. It was misery in the core. He was always trying to deal on the superficial level where he was thinking, now I have won, I'm so happy, now I'm intoxicated, I'm so happy. But deep inside, it was misery, it was superficial happiness. Prahlad had all the same things and was happy. Why? Because Hiranyakashipu was... he wanted to take all these things and use it for his own purposes. Prahlad didn't even want these things, but they were given to him, and he used it all for the service of the Lord. There are so many examples like this, where the Lord gives everything, and you just use it for his service. But if the Lord wants to take everything away, yasyaham anagrinami harishetadhanam shanai, then a devotee understands that now I'm miserable. I'm losing, you know, so many things. I might be in pain, so many problems. What does this mean? Does this mean the Lord has turned against me? Does this mean the Lord is sleeping when he's supposed to be awake
to my needs? Or does it mean that he's hypocritical? Or does it mean that he's impotent? Or does it mean that he doesn't exist? Perhaps it means that in this situation, for a devotee, the material nature is what it is. It's a place of misery. And now that material nature is taking its toll like this, what does God want me to do? Maybe he just wants me, maybe more than ruling the world or getting huge results or building temples or making, millions of people devotees, maybe that's not what he wants of me right now. Maybe right now he just wants me in a humble state of mind to take shelter of him by sincerely, in a prayerful mood, crying out his holy names. In this way, a devotee who understands Krishna Kata's philosophy can adjust to every situation and grow, whatever it is. There is no situation too horrible that a devotee can't adjust to and grow if we are sincere, if we're really sincere. Of course, devotees are compassionate to other people's sufferings, para dukkha dukkhi. We should apply this principle to ourselves, but we shouldn't apply it to others in the sense of being hard-hearted. If another devotee is suffering, we shouldn't say, oh, you are so fortunate. Just see how God is doing this. Material nature is doing all these things. Material nature is a place of misery. It's foundational. Krishna doesn't say, because you're my devotee, the material world is not a miserable place. Krishna says, because you're my devotee, you will rise above the material world. But the material world is always a miserable place. It's how it was created. Well, people will say, why God made the material world a miserable place? He could have done better than this. And if he's going to make it a miserable place, it should be miserable the way I think it should be miserable. But then it won't be miserable. All the miseries of material existence are simply because people are not cooperating with Krishna. All the miseries are because we've turned our back to Krishna in so many different, for so many different names and so many different causes. People have created havoc in this world. It's always been like this. Christians may say, why God has done this? But factually, their own Savior and almost all of his immediate followers, they were all tortured and killed. It wasn't that God did that to them. It was the horrible people of this world who did that to them. And God gave them ultimate salvation. Yes, because they remembered him. Material world. So who are we to say God shouldn't do this to us when Judaism, people were banished to the, they were slaves for so many years, and then they were banished in the wilderness for so many years and so many problems. material existence.
In Krishna consciousness, so many things have happened. Look at what Aurangzeb did to Vrindavan. Look at what those demoniac people did to Thakur Haridas. And so many other examples. It's not our position to think that to be conditional in our devotional service in this way. People who have greed and envy and lust and pride have always created havoc in this world and have always made other people suffer. It's the history of material existence. Hiranyakashipu was especially targeting the Brahmins and the devotees. Yes? Even in Satya Yuga. Wasn't a very blissful place. Sometimes it was, but then, you know, people like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, you know, they were Satya Yuga people. And Treta Yuga, it's not that Ravana just caused problems to Sita. He and his armies caused problems to everyone. They were going to Brahmins' houses and eating them alive. Hare Krishna. And in mundane history, we read about so many conquerors and so many wars and so many plunderers everywhere. The world is about fighting and war and conquest and persecution. It's material existence. Krishna consciousness is not the process of just trying to improve it. Trying to make material existence happy is like being in the ocean and trying to make the water like dry land. Can anyone do that? You can't. It's the ocean of material existence. But we can transcend it. We can find the spiritual world beyond material existence within our hearts. And when we talk about making the material world a better place, from a pure devotional perspective, this is what it means. It means Krishnizing, elevating people's consciousness. When people's consciousness are more elevated in devotion, then naturally they're going to make the world a better place. But there's always going to be the other side. And their greatest enemy is going to be pure devotional service. Yes. When Srila Prabhupada came to America, he said, if they knew when I first came to this country, if they knew what I was going to be teaching, they would have never let me in. Hare Krishna. Economy. Why is God doing this to the economy? Why blame God? God's told us no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, no greed. He's telling us this in Bhagavad Gita. He's telling us in all the scriptures practically. And we're building our economy on the basis of greed and illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. We're building our whole economy on the basis of all these artificial, undesirable activities that Krishna is warning us against. And then when it collapses, why is God doing this? Why has human beings done this? And then devotees say, well, I'm not doing illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, or meat eating, and I'm not greedy. I'm giving so much money to Krishna. And so why? He's doing this to me too. Adi, adi. Because you're in the material world. And you're subjected to what everybody else is doing. That's why it's a miserable place. You're subject to whatever everybody else is doing. But what does Krishna want from us in every situation? To take shelter. Well, this is a very, very powerful lesson of Prahlad Maharaj. He's not asking for any benediction. Even liberation. Now, sometimes we think liberation means we get to float around in the Brahma Jyoti. But for most people in this world who are suffering, liberation means relief from the suffering. Yes? That's more intense. If you're just enjoying life, you know, okay, I'll do some puja, and then after I die, I can float around in the Brahma Jyoti. But when you're really suffering, when you're miserable, then liberation is about finally, at last, the misery is subdued. Mm-hmm. When we're sick or when we're injured or things get really bad in this world, one of the things we take shelter of is that it won't last so long. It'll pass. Yes? Have you all had this experience? You're really sick or you're injured or some problem has come in your life, in your business or in your family, and you kind of take shelter of time. That in time it's going to change. That's natural, because that's natural. But what really that means, in one sense, is that you want liberation. You want liberation from these pains. You may not be identifying it as, you know, being in the Brahma Jyoti, but you want liberation from suffering. But Prahlad doesn't want that. Dhruva didn't want that. Kulavecha Sridhar didn't want that. Prabhupada didn't want that. Lord Chaitanya, he didn't want that. He just wants to serve. Whether it's in a miserable state, whether it's in a happy state, I just want to serve you, my Lord. And it is that consciousness that rises us above all miseries. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's really, really very deep and very powerful message that this little 5-year-old Prahlad is teaching us today. He's being offered everything that everyone wants and more. And he considers it an impediment to his devotional service. He's considering it a temptation to divert his attention away from Krishna consciousness. And although he told Krishna, I don't want any of these things, I only want to remember you. I only want to be free from all desires to enjoy material existence, and I only want to be fixed in remembering you. That's all he asked for.
and he asked for the liberation of his father, the person who hated him. And Srila Prabhupada explains that he was asking for this liberation for his father because his father was affectionate to him. How many of you have had a father who had this type of affection for you? But Prahlad was thinking his father was affectionate to him. This is really seeing the good. Prahlad was aware that his father, when he just tried to give him Krishna consciousness, Hiranyakashipu threw him on the floor. Right on, he was sitting on his lap, and Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu threw that little 5-year-old boy on the floor and screamed at him. Now, you scream at your child and make him afraid. But who are you? Raise your eyebrow, see what happens. Hiranyakashipu raises one eyebrow, and all the demigods are trembling in fear. And he was screaming in rage at Prahlad. And then he tried to murder him in so many ways, with such hatred, such deep hatred. Up until the end, he drew his sword. He was ready to personally cut off Prahlad's head, fed him poison, so many horrible ways. And here Prahlad is asking his Narasingadev. He has nothing for himself except to be protected from material desires and to always remember the Lord. That's all he asks for. And now he's at, and then he asks, please give my father liberation. And Prabhupada said, because his father was affectionate to him. That means all those things that Hiranyakashipu did, Prahlad was remembering when he smelled his head with affection. Yes? Because Hiranyakashipu did do that. He brought Prahlad in his lap and smelled his head, and it was even tears of affection. So Prahlad is remembering that. He was affectionate. Please give him liberation. And Lord Narasingadev is saying, because you are my pure devotee, because you have taken shelter of me so sincerely, not only your father, 21 generations will all be purified. 21 generations. That means 21 generations in this family. But not only that, but in the last 21 generations, all the families you were born into, they all get purified. Can you imagine that? We don't even... How many people in India, you know better than the West? How many people know the names of your great, great, great grandparents? Please raise your hands. In India, you're supposed to have these gotras and your mother's mother, 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 or your father's father, 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 father. How many know the name? Usually we know at the most our great-grandparents, or maybe our great-great-grandparents, but our great-great-great-grandparents, we don't even know who they are. But put 21 greats. Well, actually 19 greats, and then your grandparent and your parent. They're all liberated. And not only that, how many of you know
who your parents were in your last life. Or the life before your last life. Or the life before that. How many of you know your parents from 21 births back? They all get purified. This is the Lord's mercy. And he's not saying only for Prahlad. He's saying anyone who takes shelter of him and surrenders to him like Prahlad, this is the blessing. So what greater thing can we do for our parents? And even parents we don't remember. It's amazing. You don't remember them. They don't remember you. But still, they get purified because of you. That is Krishna's love. And then, Lord, after Prahlad rejects all benedictions, he only wants to serve. The Lord says, all right, this is how I want you to serve, to be the king and enjoy all the opulences of Hiranyakashipu. Not for 80 years or 90 years, for the duration of the lifetime of a Manu. One Manu lives 71 Divya Yugas. That means 71 Yuga cycles. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, Kali Yuga, all of them together. Prabhupada says it's about 4,300,000 years. That's one Divya Yuga. Multiply that by 71. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapa Yuga, Kali Yuga, 71 cycles. He's going to enjoy material opulence as a king for that duration. Hare Krishna. But he's the Lord's devotee. He will use everything for the Lord's service. That is the benediction of a Vaishnava. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja gadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaita kitvai. That is the special feature of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. That is the special feature of the proper understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's pretty amazing because sometimes people do Bhagavat Saptahas for their, when they open a new business. Really? Because they want to make more money. So they do Bhagavat Saptaha. Or, you know, for a birthday, they do a Bhagavat Saptaha with the idea that, you know, he'll get a good husband or a good wife, or he'll have nice facilities like this. But this was not at all the mood of Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit. Bhagavat is about this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. In many ways, this verse is just like the essence. It just brings out what Bhagavatam is all about. Ahoitiki apratihata. Savaipung shang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshuji. Ahoitiki apratihata yayatma suprasediti. The supreme occupation for all humanity is loving devotional service to the Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. It's spoken at the beginning of Bhagavatam. And it's exemplified, personified by the stories of the Bhagavatam. And here is such a perfect example. Prahlad gave everything to the Lord and wanted nothing in return except to give more. That is love. Prema Pumartha Mahan. The highest goal, Artha Kama Dhamma Moksha. This is why most people come to God, for economic development, sense gratification, religiosity, or liberation. But Prema Pumartha Mahan, Bhagavatam rejects all of these as being Kaitava Dharma. Only love for Krishna. That's the only purpose, the only goal, the only aspiration. And that is what Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us. Is there any questions? Nikhilananda Prabhu, would you like to speak something? Thank you.
I can ask a question.
You are asking for a benediction.
Maharaj, in Krishna consciousness, when we came, at that time we didn't have materially any opulence. But afterwards, coming into Krishna consciousness, Krishna gave us some material opulence. And when we got some material opulence, slowly, slowly, after some years of Krishna consciousness, our body also started giving problems. So sometimes, not sometimes I should say, rather most of the times, our mind gives us an excuse that I need something, sense gratification, to see to it that my body remains all right so that I can maintain my Krishna consciousness nicely. But indirectly, if you go a little bit deep, you could understand it is because of sense gratification or because of some attachment. How to check ourselves in the years to come, that is near our gold age time, that it is because of sense gratification we are doing some services or some comforts we are taking it, or it is because we need it just to keep our body and soul together and make a strong commitment to Krishna consciousness. Because when the age is increasing, Maya's attack will become and death is coming nearby and our consciousness becomes loose, then we have missed Krishna consciousness. So what is the checking point that we should have it, that we are not getting carried away for sense gratification or our commitment is becoming stronger and stronger, although some material opulence Krishna has given it, but we are not compromising our Krishna consciousness?
Hare Krishna. Someday your questions may be in one of the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Whoever would like to see this, please say Hari Bol. Thank you. It is a reality for most of us. Of course, the six Goswamis, they were unbelievable. They just, Raghunath Das Goswami, even in his oldest age, he just reduced more and more his material requirements. We cannot imitate, but we can follow the spirit. As we grow older, according to the Vedic system, you know, you become a vanaprastha, which means you don't have as much necessarily. Now, how to be a vanaprastha in Bombay? If you wear tree bark, you might, I don't know what will happen. There's hardly even trees to get bark from. But the principle is
we have to be practical. We may need to give more time to our bodies. We may need some more facilities for our bodies. Yes? Even Srila Prabhupada, who was an absolute Paramhamsa, Mahabhagavat, still, you know, for his body, just to carry on with his devotional service, he increased his massages as his body was getting older, his morning walks. He wasn't doing morning walks before, you know, he had serious physical problems. So he was teaching us how to be practical. This body is Krishna's instrument, and keeping the body fit is our duty for Krishna's service. We have to try our best. It's our duty to Krishna to make our body the best it could be for devotional service, not for material enjoyment. And the needs of the body increase generally for most of us as we grow older. So that should not make us guilty, but we should examine our motives. We should examine our motives. In our situation, are we honestly trying to engage our bodies, our resources more and more in devotional service, in Krishna consciousness? Are we utilizing these things more and more qualitatively and quantitatively as far as possible? Then it's good. We see great devotees. When they're dying, they need so many people to help them. Yes? Devotees dying of cancer or whatever. Great devotees, but still, they never had servants before, but now so many people are helping them. So that's, if they're really sincerely trying to give their hearts, their lives to Krishna, then that's just what's required. The most important thing is, what is our aspiration and how we're actually pursuing that aspiration practically. As we grow older, there's more a sense of need for some security in our old age. Yes? That's when you're young, you usually don't think about that. But then the reality of how fragile you are and how time, you're not going to get younger. When you're old, you're not going to get younger. You're only going to get older. That's material life. Janma mrityu jara vyadi. These are the miseries of material existence. Birth, old age, disease, and death. So we should be practical. Prabhupada said, keep body and soul together the best we can. But not to enjoy, but to chant Hare Krishna, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and to serve in whatever capacity we can serve. Does that answer your question? One more question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for such a nice lecture. If in our family nobody is devotee and the meaning of taking care of them is that we have less time for our own spiritual advancement, should we take care of them or should we think about our own spiritual life and anyway we are aware that they are getting benefit, or should we take care of them and give association? Because I heard many times in your lecture that you emphasize a lot in taking care of the own family. So what should we do?
It depends whether you are a brahmachari or a grihastha or a vanaprastha or sannyasi. For brahmacharis, they take care of their family like Prahlad by liberating them for 21 generations. Yes, Govinda Prabhu? Let's see, Govinda Prabhu surrendered to Krishna and his mother surrendered to Krishna also some years later. It works. But for grihasthas, you know, there is a responsibility to family. But we should do it in such a way that Krishna is in the center. If they're not devotees, you should ask your counselor. Because things are specific. We cannot speak too generally in these subjects. But certainly, we can help them in their physical needs, but we should also be trying to help them spiritually. And we should not compromise in our own spiritual standards. But for details, you can ask according to your particular situation. Grihasthas, there is a responsibility for that, to take care of relatives. But it should be done in Krishna consciousness. We should not sacrifice our bhakti for a moral principle. But we can apply bhakti to these duties that we have in this world. Yes, Mahaprabhu.
I can ask a question after afternoon. It was connected with the you were going to speak
now. We are very much relieved by your step. It's very liberating. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.